What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, everybody. This is Gary Schnale. Welcome to Computer Show. And tonight, I got a very special guest I'm very happy to bring on. And his name is Robert Schmimelik. And Robert is with AutoVote 3000 in Miami, Florida. And brother, you have had your hands full before this election. Hey, Robert.
Absolutely, Gary. But we're going to try and do what we can to make this not such a memorable election as 2000.
Well, to that end, you have brought in the new AutoVote 3000, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
Now, is this your company?
Yes. AutoVote 3000 is a corporation that I started with my brother-in-law, Peter, and along with his wife, Karen, who is my sister.
Right.
And we decided to create a machine that was foolproof so that the people of Florida would be able to vote and not have the terrible ramifications, of course, we saw in 2000.
What, with the hanging chads and all of that, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Boy, I'll tell you, that was a real cluster, you know what, wasn't it? That election in 2000, and they had pregnant chads and everything, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And this was all as the result of rather, I think, imperfect system of using a paper ballot as opposed to a fully computerized automated machine where the information is inputted and it is stored as data where it can be retrieved later on.
So we're talking about a computer.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's what our show is all about, the Gary Schnale Computer Show. Now, you've got a working model here, don't you, Robert?
Yes, I do. It's right here.
All right. Let me get my microphone over to this. Now, what I'm looking at here looks like just a regular touchscreen machine. What's the difference between this and the touchscreen?
This machine actually has a higher capacity for containing information, if you will, recording information, and it also is able to assimilate and to interpret information from a variety of different sources. So we can input your vote, it can be downloaded very quickly into a another site, and can assess information, certainly as it's coming in.
So it's a kind of a smart computer, probably smarter than my Hewlett-Packard, huh?
I don't know. I don't know how smart your Hewlett-Packard is, but I'm sure.
I'll tell you, my Hewlett-Packard, I love my Hewlett-Packard. I love it. It's my desktop, but it's a, man, I got some sites that I like to visit on a regular basis, and I certainly want to delete them later for obvious reasons that I don't want to go into right now with the audience, but I've got a lot of sites I visit that I need to get out of the computer very quickly, and it takes me, I've gone through about six of these. Because what happens is, I go to the site, I can't get rid of the information, so I got to throw the computer away. But first I have to, you know, smash it with a baseball bat so that everything's...
Right, could get messy.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, let's take a look now. Everybody at home, this is the new AutoVote 3000. And this is the voting machine they'll be using in Florida.
Yes, and Gary, if you will, do the honors, as you can see here on the screen.
All right, now let me tell my audience. I'm looking at a picture here that says Bush, Kerry, Nader, other. Now, what does other mean?
Well, as you can see there, there are a number of alternate candidates, the Green Party candidate there.
Now, see the Libertarian Brown?
Yes. And if you wish to write in a candidate, you can punch write in, which then is right here. You can see it will send out a ballot here, and then you bring that, and that is a hand-posted, if you will, or a hand-dropped ballot. So.
All right, so that would be the only one that's hand-dropped?
Yes.
All right, let's say I want to vote for Kerry.
All right, just push that button right there. Hold on for a minute.
Hold on for just a minute, folks. We've got a problem. All right, let me try it again.
Yes, that was...
All right, what is this? We'll be right back to Gary Snail's Computer Show in a moment. Gary Schnale is heard on WKYG in the Bering Strait, Alaska. Please stand by. What the hell are you doing to me? What are you doing to me?
I'm trying.
All right, welcome back to Gary Schnale's Computer Show. And all right, so we got the AutoVote 3000. Now, let's say I want to vote for John Kerry.
All right, what you do is just push the button here. I'm sorry.
Go to the music. Now, I'm going to tell you something, you limey. You better... I don't know... You're trying to make... Gary Snail's Computer Show. We'll be right back. What are you doing? Suppose I want to vote for Bush. Are we back? All right, Gary Snail back here. And suppose I want to vote for Bush, Robert.
Well, just push that button right there. I'm sorry, I really...
I'm going to tip. we'll be right back. Gary Snail's Computer Show. Everything you need to know about computers and more. All right, let's see. I think I've straightened out the problem here. Now, Robert, suppose I want to vote for Nader.
Push that button right there.
We'll be right back. Make me look like an ass!
I don't know.
Hey, you know what happened, huh? Making fun of our electoral process! You stinking limey! Alright, I'm voting for Kerry. Alright, I'm voting for Bush. I'm voting for Nader. You jackass! Looks like another election snafu. Gary Snail can be accessed at GarySnail.com or through this station. Gary Snail's Computer Show. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Margaret Gray will join us with her campaign 2004 report in our next hour. In our third hour, Cadet R.C. Collins from the Bradley Military Academy on how very important it is for you to vote. If for no other reason than your participation in the process shows that you care about the well-being, the lives, and the missions of our fighting men and women. If you don't vote, then you're taking their lives in a rather cavalier manner, meaning you are just blowing them off. And then we will have also our regular feature, News Overheard in a Bar, with Craig Hardy, your barroom correspondent, Art Bell, and Royce Wallace, autistic DJ. And tomorrow night, of course, Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's beginning to look like now that this election is going to be a fiasco, whether we like it or not. Lawyers are lining up. Experts fear messy, disorderly election, long lines, malfunctioning machines. Not that it's going to necessarily be that way, but all the news that's being reported around this is the usual negative take, which is that there's bound to be malfunctioning machines, bound to be dueling lawyers, and Republicans are going to have people observing at polls to make sure that the people voting are for real and not Mary Poppins and Dick Tracy. As has been the case, some people are registering as Mary Poppins and Dick Tracy. They've also registered illegal immigrants. Democrats will be at the polls to make sure there isn't what they call, quote, voter intimidation, which they see voter intimidation as this. Excuse me, are you registered to vote? Well, how dare you intimidate me? No, I'm just wondering, is that really your name, Mary Poppins? How dare you? And then there'll be a lawsuit. You're Mary Poppins, huh? Yeah. I'm Mary Poppins. Well, you're 6 feet three, you have a beard, and you drive a truck. Yeah? You calling me fag? No, I guess I won't say anything, sir. You better believe it, otherwise you're intimidating me, and I'm going to sue you. But don't worry about it, baby. Whoever wins this election, there's going to be huge lawsuits. John Edwards' wife yesterday even intimated that there might be violence if George Bush wins. Are you ready for this woman as the vice president's wife? I mean, the second lady, is that what they're called? Are you ready for either one of these chicks? They are something else, man. They're real different. Oh, they're kooky. They're real different. Between Teresa Hines sticking her feet in her mouth every time she opens her trap up, and this Edwards woman saying that there could be violence if George Bush is elected, this is a woman who would be married to a vice president of the United States. I'm not even making it up, man. She said it. Problems may begin on Election Day next Tuesday, according to Reuters, with an anticipated huge turnout. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 60% of voters will vote this year, as opposed to 54% in 2000. Adding to the potential confusion. I wonder how many people who complain about Bush getting in on a fraudulent vote, I wonder how many of those people voted. You know what I'm saying? I'd love to find out the percentage of the people that actually voted who give a crap, as opposed to the people who are squealing like stuck pigs and never voted. Hey, Bush got in, and the people, and they didn't need... Did you vote? No. Oh, okay. But I guess that makes me a right-winger, huh? Yeah, I'm a right-winger. Yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm just a right-winger. Man. Then I got my sister-in-law telling me, by the way, Phil, you're really a Republican. You're not a Democrat. Just accept it. To which I responded, dear... Well, I won't tell you her name. Dear Jane, I said, baby, and I often call my sister-in-law baby, I said, it would take me five lifetimes to explain to you what a Democrat is. See, all she knows about being a Democrat is what she overhears at a Starbucks. She says to me, I can't afford Starbucks like the big Hollywood star you are. I said, try getting a job. Oh, ha ha. What do you mean, ha-ha? Get a job. You can afford a lousy $4 cup of coffee. It's the going rate now. In Ohio, there were people with fictitious characters being registered to vote. Dick Tracy and Mary Poppins. In New Mexico, 13 and 15-year-olds getting registration cards in the mail they didn't even ask for. In Nevada, illegal immigrants being registered. Republicans have mobilized volunteers to challenge suspicious voters. Democrats have mobilized volunteers to challenge Republicans who may be intimidating voters. Disputes over voters could hold up voting even more and raise the temperature in some voting places, but several election officials said nobody in the election rolls would be turned away. Well, they better not be. They better keep those polls open until everybody who wants to vote does vote. Although I would say this. Is this fair? Midnight is the cutoff, baby. You know that election day is November 2nd. Everybody aware of that? Or are we going to get sued if we don't let a guy vote on December 3rd? Are we going to get sued because a guy wants to vote and he wanted to vote on like February 8th, you know, like 3 weeks after the inauguration? Should we just go ahead and let him vote? It might tip the scales, even though the guy's been inaugurated already. What do you think we ought to do? Inquiring minds want to know. How can we make this fair? How can we make this voter friendly for a nation of people who ordinarily wouldn't turn out to vote for dog catcher? And now all of a sudden everybody's concerned about their vote counting. Well, the stakes have never been as high, Mr. Henry. Stakes are high every 4 years, Charlie, no matter what. The stakes are always high, baby. The stakes are always high. Dan something or other of the Nonpartisan Election Commissions, he's a real brain surgeon. He's down in Florida, and he said the problems of 2000 will not repeat themselves. Instead, we could find some new ones. Certainly, every vote will count. Whether it will be counted is another matter, he said. Boy, that's really inspiring confidence there, Dan. That's the guy in Florida where they had the problem. And this guy comes on 4 years later to say, well, I don't know if we, you know, I'm just a volunteer. Understand, please, that I'm a non-paid volunteer. And, well, can we talk to somebody who's in charge then? Well, I'm pretty much the guy, but I don't know whether we can count them or what. Are blacks allowed to vote? Because we don't know. Yes, they are. Okay. Is there a poll tax still? No, there's no poll tax. It's illegal and unconstitutional. All right. Thank you. I just want to get that clear. Now, this is something to be kept in mind. If somebody challenges a voter, if I walk up to somebody in a polling place and I say, so you're Dick Tracy, huh? Yeah. Uh-huh. You mind proving that? The burden of proof is on me, not on him. He doesn't have to do anything. If he's on the roll as Dick Tracy, if he's on the voter roll as Mary Poppins, if he's on the voter roll as Starsky and Hutch, then he gets to vote. And I got to prove that he is not qualified. So that's something to keep in mind. But the panic and confusion that a lot of people are expecting, I'll tell you this much, if it's close, there's going to be lawsuits left and right, man. This thing will be held up again. If Kerry wins or Bush wins and it's close, it'll be a cluster, you know what, the likes of which we haven't seen since, well, 2000. But like I say, only a country of people who ordinarily don't vote, now all of a sudden they want their vote to count, only in this country could this stuff happen. But I tell you, it's a free country, man, free not to vote, vote, whatever you want to do. So anyway, like I said, I got the emails going back and forth with the family. My sister-in-law has been sending her usual, hey, have you seen George Bush's military resume? You know those emails that go out? This was the one that I got. Here it is. Guys in the administration who've never been to war, guys who have been to war, like a Democrats, it's got like Teddy Kennedy and all these cats. And on the Republicans, Bush never went to war. And then they mentioned John Wayne. Like, huh? He ain't even a... He's not alive. The guy's dead 25 years. So I sent back a list. I said, well, here's some Republicans that I know who, like, went to war. Here's some Democrats I know who support Bush who went to war. Two of which, like my brother and my father. And then they, you know, she sends me back another email saying, oh, I get it. So there's no free speech. So in other words, as long as we're saying what you want us to say, Phil, everything's okay. But when I... No, I'm just giving you my opinion. I'm just giving you my opinion. I thought maybe you'd like to hear from someone who actually reads. I mean, like reads a newspaper and a book every now and again. Oh, so just because I don't read, that makes me not smart or not as informed? Yeah, that's right. How dare you? What a Nazi and a bigot. Wait a minute. If you don't read and keep informed as much as I do, how can I say you're... So in other words, just because you read newspapers every day and are informed, you're more informed than me because I don't? Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. Oh my God, just like you knuckle-dragging right-wingers. I said, I ain't a right-winger, man. I don't agree with the president a lot of stuff. I'm just voting for him for president. Just admit it, Phil. You're a Republican. I said, I know what a Democrat is. Do you? Oh, okay, Phil. Well, I don't know. I'm telling you. You know, the next email I get from you, Terry, I'm going to post on my website. I'm putting it on my website. I'm going to put the whole email chain on my website with your response, my response. I bet you there's families all over America doing this right now, by the way. All over America. Emailing back and forth. It's like the Civil War. Only instead of bayonets and stuff and muskets, we got email. I'm going out of fat for General Jackson. The hell with all of you. Yeah, it's the, my, you know, we're split right down the middle in this thing. Meanwhile, CBS, 2003, it was uncovered that a large cache of explosives was missing in Iraq, published and broadcast in April of 2003. CBS 60 Minutes wanted to hold the story and run it on election eve. Run the story on October 31st, the Sunday before the election. Jeff Fager, or Fager, I don't know how it's pronounced, it's F-A-G-G-E-R. Executive producer of the Sunday edition of 60 Minutes said in a statement that our plan was to run the story on October 31st, but it became clear that it wouldn't hold. You know why they wanted to run it? The same reason why they phonied up those documents. Because they're in the pocket of these cats that want Bush out of there. I mean, these guys, it's incredible what's going on. It's going on right under our noses and right before our eyes, and everyone can see it, and nobody wants to say that it's happening. But it's a concerted effort by a journalistic organization like CBS to propagandize and slander a president right out of office. It's incredible. This is the CBS News. They used to have a guy by the name of Edward R. Murrow, a guy by the name of Walter Cronkite, a guy by the name of Charles Collingwood, a guy by the name of Eric Severide, a guy by the name of Captain Kangaroo, and now...
Kangaroo, was he a reporter?
Yes, bud, he was a reporter.
I bet she is in a London blitzkrieg.
Yeah, Captain Kangaroo is at the London Blitzkrieg along with Edward R. Murrow and Mr. Green Jeans.
Yeah, that must have been great.
Yeah, it was great. Oh, God. Okay, hey, who are you voting for, bud?
I haven't decided yet if I can keep my arm raised that long.
What?
If I don't know if I keep my arm up that long.
What do you mean, keep your arm up?
If they're going to vote, how am I keep my arm up until they vote me?
Are you kidding me or what, man? You go into a booth, you jackass! Keep your arm up?
I didn't know.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, Craig Hardy with news he overheard in a barroom. And now our correspondent, Craig Hardy, at the Cubby Bear Lounge in Chicago.
Hey, how you doing? It's Craig Hardy. Welcome to News I Overheard in a Barroom. I want to keep you as abreast of the situation in the country. I want to keep you as well-informed as I can. I heard a guy here the other day says, no way Kerry's going to win. It's this guy over here. See the guy there in that red jacket? He says, no way Kerry wins because everybody knows Bush's old man is the secret head of the Illuminati. Yeah. So they can change the voting computers, like, from their headquarters, which my understanding is it's in, like, Europe or some deal like that. So I heard a guy say that.
And now more news that Craig heard in a bar.
Thank you. Welcome back. I heard this guy say that Bush is going to start the draft up again because everybody knows that he had his fingers crossed actually behind his back when he said there wouldn't be no draft. He had his fingers crossed behind his back. That's what I heard a guy say. I was playing pool with a guy about 2 days ago. He says that.
And now more news with Craig.
Thanks very much. Hey, I heard a guy over here, actually the brother of the guy that's the dispatch operator for most of our drivers, his sister has got a brother who worked with the Secret Service. It's the Saudi family, you know, his sheet wearers over there, and Bush, our buddy, and the whole 911 thing, they planned it all out. That's what I heard. Guy over here said, this guy knows my sister's brother, is what I heard.
We'll be right back. And now more news that he overheard in a bar. Here's Craig Hardy.
Some guy says to me, you know, these Marines, U.S. Marines are tough. That's what he says. Like, I heard another guy over here was shooting, actually he was playing foosball with two guys. One guy says that Kerry got shot in the ass in the Nam and spent most of his time in a hospital tent. He didn't do anything. He got shot in the butt in Nam. You ready for that? That's what a guy told me. Just, I was playing foosball with a guy. He says, because he drives here for yellow cabs, so anyway, I think he found it in the newspaper. He was cleaning his cab out. Another guy says, he says Bush is going to amend the, get this. See, if this is true, and I heard a guy say Bush is going to amend the Constitution so Arnold Schwarzenegger will then automatically be president, and there's nothing we can do because Bush will just amend the Constitution when we're not aware that he's doing it. You ready for that? Another thing, I heard Bush and Kerry are really twins that were separated at birth. This guy I know over here, he's the guy that runs that shoe shine place. He also does shoe repair and sells hot dogs. He says Bush and Kerry was twins. What do you think of that? You think there's anything to that? It sounds pretty good to me. I also heard Kerry's old lady, like this Heinz. Apparently she's got real bad facial hair. Like there's a serious, electrolysis that they got to do on her facial. So she's got a beard or something. It's really, it's too bad, you know.
And there is news for all of you who get your news in bar rooms. Craig Hardy will keep you up to date with more news as he overhears it at the foosball machine. 1-800-449-868. Kerry's old lady has a facial hair problem. Wow. 1-800-449-8686. What's that, Craig? You want to say one more thing?
Yeah, I just want to say that actually Bin Laden is Kerry with a turban on his head.
Get out of here.
I talked to this guy. No, seriously, Phil, can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
I talked to this guy who's playing pinball the other day. He said he's very much attracted to Teresa Heinz Kerry and Rita Cosby. His name's Bud Dickman, so I don't know if you maybe know that.
Yeah, that I believe, man. All right, thanks a lot for that uplink there from the Bulls game. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Jasmine, hello.
Hi. Yes.
How are you, Jasmine?
I'm well. How are you?
Cool, very good.
Okay, well, do I ask my question now?
Well, you can do whatever you want to do. You can sing a song, you can recite poetry, make a statement, you can issue a manifesto, a treatise, if you will. You can take me on. You can say, Phil, you moron. You said something the other day that I think you should be flogged within an inch of your life for, and here's what it is. Well, you can do anything you want.
Well, it's actually my first time listening to you, and
yes, ma'am.
I haven't been able to stop listening since I turned on the radio, so I thought I'd call and ask you a question that, you know, has mm-hmm. been on my mind. And the question is, you know, I've heard some of your viewpoints thus far on, you know, Republicans, Democrats, and your conversations with your sister-in-law what do you think about the president's performance on, you know, the three presidential debates?
Oh, it was bad. It was not good. Not
so even as a Republican, you don't think that he performed as president?
I'm not a Republican. I'm a Democrat who happens to support President Bush. I support President Bush because, for me, this is a one-issue campaign, and it is the security of my country, and I believe he has performed well in that area. It's an ugly enemy we face. Nobody said it was going to be a McDonald's war that was going to be in, out in 3 minutes. And he has the unenviable position of having experienced something that only two other or three other presidents ever have, a national tragedy on the level of 9/11. But as far as debating skills go, no, he didn't do well. But I would hasten to add, being a good debater doesn't make you a good president. Because I debated when I was in school. And I know that debating is about countering an opponent's point. It's not really about uncovering truth. The viewer, the listener, is the one who is to uncover the truth out of what he hears. But the debaters themselves are not there to reveal truths. They're there to present a point of view and to counter. And Kerry's very good at that. And the president is very emotional. And is doesn't come off as a polished guy. But fortunately for me, I work in the media, so I know it's all hogwash. So that stuff just kind of slides off my back. I didn't hear Kerry say anything in that debate of any substance whatsoever. I heard him make a lot of promises, and I heard him counter the president very well, and the president did not respond well. The president got a little emotional at times. He stammers around. He has that flaw, if you will.
Hello?
She hung up. She just hung up because she didn't want to hear me go on and on about this crap. Thank you. Thank you very much for your attention. Alex, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Okay.
Where do I go to listen to news that isn't, you know, biased? Because, I mean, Fox is right-wing, CNN is
there isn't such a thing.
No.
No, you got to access your news from a lot of different sources.
Yeah, sit around. Well, that's essentially what I do. I mean, I'll sit around on the Internet, you know.
Well, the Internet? I mean, go down to a newsstand, man. Pick up a bunch of newspapers. Watch, listen to NPR, listen to CNN, watch Fox. You can go to a million different freaking websites. You can go to the damn Socialist Workers Party newspaper, the Iranian news agency. Most of the news that I get about the Middle East is from Middle Eastern sources. I got a really good site. You probably won't like it. It's called Debka, D-E-B-K-A. It's an Israeli intelligence site. That's a good one. You can go to the Egyptian news. I mean, geez, what are you kidding?
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff out there.
Oh, yeah, what are you talking about? There's no such thing as nonpartisan reporting anymore. You can see. They're all trying to get, you know, looks to me like they're all trying to get Kerry elected.
Yeah, well, you do a pretty good job of, you know, keeping the crap out of everything, you know.
So, well,
keep up the good work.
Huh?
Keep up the good work.
All right, well, thanks. Goodbye. Did you just call me an a-hole? No. You go to all them websites, next thing you know, you got a little bit of a piece of information. You know, with the Internet, my God, yes, I know there's all kinds of wonderful porn, but in between surfing your favorite older, mature site or some illegal teen site, why don't you stop off at some newspaper or news agency and read up a little bit? I tell you what, here's something you can do. Every night when you go to your usual porn sites for the 3 or 4 hours that you spend on them, take about 10 minutes out of those 3 hours and just visit a news site. Get a little information, then kind of print that off, put it off to the side, and return to, you know, the bestiality site or whatever you guys do. And that way you can feel, you won't feel so guilty about doing what you're doing. And your wife going, Bob, come on, honey, come to bed. Yes, dear, I'm just downloading some information on the kids' school. 1-800-449-8686 tonight. Margaret Gray joins us with her campaign 2004 report, and R.C. Collins from the Bradley Military Academy, with a young military student's take on the election. We'll also have Royce Wallace, autistic DJ, and Art Bell joins us with General Johnson Jameson, a new anomaly from the planet Mars has come to his attention, so by God, we have to stop down for that one. It's coming up tonight on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. East of the Rockies, there's a little path that cuts through a narrow meadow that's owned by an old lady where she feeds ducks every morning and, well, you know the story. And now, here's Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell, and a very decent and wonderful and prestigious good morning to each and every one of you, whether you're listening aboard a fishing boat off the coast of Washington, whether you're sitting in a hot tub in Georgia, or whether you're just playing with yourself in Beantown. A very wonderful good morning to you. Welcome to Coast AM. I am Art Bell. In a moment, we will be talking with General Johnson Jameson, and a very rare treat indeed, General Jameson joins us in studio because he has seen, let me tell you something, we have seen together, and you can see this on my website, www.artisoutofhismind.com. That's www.artmeetsmedicinefast.com, and you can see the pictures there of what could be an artifact from the Red Planet. That coming up in just a moment. But first, friends, this is from Peenemann Enterprises. Friends, these days it's pretty much impossible getting anything done, what with the average American being so stupid. For instance, try getting a number from directory assistance. Most of the operators are so illiterate they can't even spell the name Smith or Brown. Well, the new Peenemann Pocket 411 Dictionary can help you assist the 411 operator in spelling any name you're asking her to look up. In fact, it has it in many of the cases, numbers you're going to be asking her to look up, so you can call 911, tell her how to spell the name you're looking for, and if she can't give you the number, well, you can give her that number so she can give it back to you. Just another way Peenemann is helping you cope with the new, unbelievably stupid millennium. Hi, General Jameson joins us. General, how are you? Just move the microphone in towards you, General.
All right.
You can help him, Ramona? Ramona.
Yes?
Help him with the... Help.
Is that good?
Yeah. Yes, that's great, General.
All right.
General Jameson, tell us what you have there.
All right, I feel that I have here.
And you can back off the microphone just a little bit, General Jameson.
All right. All right, what I have here...
No, you'll have to get a little bit closer, General Jameson.
Okay.
Now, hold on, General Jameson. Either don't get so close and don't get so far away. Just split the difference.
All right, how's this?
That's wonderful.
All right, I have here what looks to be a primitive burial container of a race of tiny men from Mars.
All right, now, describe to our listeners, and this is on my website. This is on my website. I repeat, this is on my website. Let me just say... Oh, it's on my website.
All right, Art. I'm looking at a box no longer than 6 to 7 inches wide, probably no more than a foot long. It is colored red and white.
What is the significance of those colors, do you think?
Probably some talisman, some kind of symbol of death.
Do you believe Martians have a religion?
I would say that there is some kind of a burial ceremony that is inclusive of a belief in some kind of spiritual world givenness. This is incredible, Art. I found this in my backyard.
You did?
Yes. And you can see, look at this.
Now, those are bones.
Yes, these are the bones of a midget... I would say a midget race of Martians.
All right. Can you tell me why it says KFC on the side of the box?
I don't know. I don't know. We're still quantifying that through our computers. But when we're done...
Could be big.
It could be big. And I'll tell you something else, all right? I'd like to play for you a phone call that I made just moments ago to the Central Intelligence Agency telling them of the find. And listen to this, all right? I recorded it. I don't care if they sue me. Listen to this.
Central Intelligence Agency?
Yes. This is General Johnson Jameson, Saskatchewan. And I'm a...
I can't hear you, sir. Say it again.
I said this is General Johnson. What a jackass. I can't hear you.
See, they hung up on me. Now, that tells me something.
Yes. Well, General Jameson, good luck. So you believe that this box that clearly has KFC on the side contains the bones of a midget Martian?
Yes. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not... What did I do?
You give me that look. You putting a whammy on me, pal?
No, I would never do that, General Jameson.
Don't you give me the evil eye, Bell. Put the whammy on me.
This has been Coast to Coast with Art Bell. West of the Rockies, there's a diner in a place called Turlock. They serve the best... Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I was being self-indulgent.
This is Art Bell, and don't miss the further adventures of General Johnson Jameson as he calls the KFC to find out if indeed that box belongs to them, and maybe they're affiliated with some race of Martians. What are they selling over there at KFC anyway? Is it chicken or is it the, oh my God, the cooked remains of Martian midgets? Here is Jasmine. Hello, Jasmine.
Hi.
Oh, you called, and yeah, I thought you hung up on me, but your cell phone went kaput.
Yes, okay, I tried getting back in touch to tell you that I didn't hang up. I was actually interested in hearing the rest of what you were saying, but I'll just fast forward to part two of my question because I know you have other callers.
Okay.
I want to know what you think about the polls that come on exactly, you know, directly after the debates, whether it was the presidential debate or the vice presidential debate. What do you think about how legitimate they are? Like, are they a legitimate reflection of how the voting is going to play out, since not everyone has watched the debates or voted on them?
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. Polls, you have to take it, like our mother used to tell us, consider the source. What is the poll? Is it a telephone poll? What I mean by telephone poll, I know that sounds funny, but I mean, are they just calling people at random? Or is it an internet poll where people get to log on and vote online? Those are the least reliable, and I noticed that those were the instant, what they call the flash polls right after the debates.
Right.
Those were generally the polls. They were internet polls. And what happens, and I happen to know this for a fact because a lot of times we use our website for people voting on different things, you get one joker on there and he just keeps voting over and over and over and over again, and if there isn't a cookie in there that keeps people from voting more than once... I noticed, for instance, after the most recent debate, where the president probably did his best, but still I don't think did all that well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like 99% carry. Well, some clown is getting on there and, you know, punching
it up. So why are major news networks showing this to people who do think that they're legitimate, and isn't it in some ways misleading to them?
Yes, yeah, it is misleading, and it's really kind of a good thing. The networks are no longer engaged, really, in delivering unbiased news. Please understand that I'm not indicting them for that. I'm saying that they're more looking for viewers, and they'll do anything to get a viewer, even if it means something insightful and something misleading. It's up to us to find the truth. It's up to us to look for what the truth is. That is the lesson of life. Truth doesn't fall into our lap. We have to find it. And truth, probably not so much religious truth, but political truth, unfolds itself as you look for it. So you have to see through this stuff. You got to know what it is that they're doing and access a lot of different sources, and you will find the truth.
My child.
Thanks, Jasmine. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray coming up.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray joins us now with our campaign 2004 report. I understand you're just like a little R&R tonight, Margaret.
I am, Phil. I'm down at Temple City Pool this evening, and I'm just shooting a couple of games here with Frank. And really winding down from what's been a very fascinating campaign.
Well, tell me all about it. I know that you are supporting Senator Kerry.
Can I...
What?
You know something, Phil? I want to do something different, if I could.
You want to do something different?
I really do, Phil. I think it's time to do this, because I've heard the frustration in your voice. And,
what do you want to do?
I want to do an analysis, not just of your radio show. I want to do an analysis of your career, Phil.
Wait. Look, I want to talk...
No, Phil, just listen. I am here to help you. And I've been hearing the frustration in your voice recently as you field phone calls and execute your radio show in a way that is really remarkable. But I really think, Phil, you would be happier if you were doing a different kind of show.
Margaret, I want to talk about the...
Phil, please, allow me, someone who has known you for 14 years, ever since Ventura, right?
Yes, you have.
I was there before anyone else, wasn't I?
Yes, you were.
Then would you allow me this analysis, please?
I don't know how interesting this is going to be for the...
Who cares what the audience thinks? I'm talking about you.
Look.
Oh, Phil, just let your pride drop for just a few minutes here. You know something? When you first came on the air with this idea of playing the part of different characters that would fool audience callers, I remember you got to Los Angeles in 1996. You really started doing it in 1990, back in Ventura, didn't you?
Yes, I did. This is very embarrassing.
Would you just allow me?
Go ahead.
Since then, there have been a number of television shows on the air, such as Joe Millionaire and My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiancé and the like, that have really taken the basic idea of your show and spun it into TV gold. Have you seen any of that money?
Of course I haven't.
No, but your program has inspired countless television writers in the Los Angeles area, countless creators of television programs across the country, and you haven't been given any credit. You afford America some of the smartest humor on radio, and perhaps America's foremost satirical presentation, and yet you've just lost your San Francisco affiliate, haven't you?
Margaret, this is embarrassing.
Haven't you?
Yes, I did. Today I got the news that San Francisco dropped us.
And why? I'll tell you why. Because they've got their little Bill O'Reilly radio station up there with their Michael Savages, and they don't know how to present you, do they, Phil? Because you're neither fish nor fowl, in the words of one of the more brain surgeon types at your company, aren't you?
What is your point?
My point is this. You are, for want of a better word, Phil, God forgive me, you are a schmuck. You're a bright, creative...
Thank you very much.
Phil, listen to me. You're a bright, creative, talented beyond measure young man in a world that doesn't get it and doesn't appreciate it. Phil, you are what we know on life to be an iconoclast. You're like Van Gogh, never to be recognized in your lifetime. Like Lenny Bruce, the man you idolize, who wound up dead on a bathroom floor. And so, therefore, it's time, Phil, to give it up. It's time to start looking out for your family. You see, Phil, I'm not just Margaret Gray. I'm the ghost of Christmas could be.
What?
Let me show you. Phil, you could have done a radio show like most guys.
What do you mean?
I mean. Listen to this.
And so today we have Councilman Rickard on to talk about the bond issue that will provide some 200 yards of desperately needed new sewer in the Tauhanga area. Welcome, Councilman Rickard.
Thank you, Phil.
Tell me, the people of the Tauhanga area have been very badly served by the lack of sewage, and this was one of your main campaign issues.
It certainly was, and...
Just move the microphone in, Councilman.
Yes, it certainly was, Phil, and we've... Very happy to report that as of January 3rd, when the new bond issue becomes effective, we will have not only 200 yards of new sewer line, but we're also going to be providing a pump area and some sewer management, as well as water purification.
So that's something that has been in the in the.
You look a little bored.
No, I'm not. Yes.
That can be you, Phil, secure and safe at a news talk station where you can interview newsmakers. You're not the newsmaker, of course, but at least you could be interviewing them.
I don't want to do that kind of radio. I want to do the kind of radio that I want to do.
You're a schmuck, Phil. A schmuck that people will continue to rip off. Phil, listen to me.
A schmuck, huh? Look, all I know is what I know, and...
Phil, listen. You could be a sports talk host. Imagine yourself, Phil. Jim, Rome.
I'll tell you right now, I think the Patriots are, bar none, the best team in football. And right now, Coach Bill Belichick is doing a phenomenal job. Certainly did a great job on the New York Jet offense last Sunday. And if what I think is going to happen does happen, I think we're looking at the Patriots to repeat. Let's go to Barney. Barney, what do you think?
Yeah, Phil, thanks a lot. Listen, I don't think you're giving Chad Pennington of the Jets enough credit. I think that Coach Edwards, Pennington was injured last year.
No doubt about that, but you can see where the Patriot defense was able to get to Pennington. He had to dink off those five-yarders, first down, little five-yard dink passes, passing around, And Curtis Martin, God bless Curtis, just not the running back that he used to be. And I'm just saying that these people are going
to... How about that, Phil? A sports talk host, an individual that could speak to the men of America. Isn't that fun?
I don't want to do sports.
I don't want to do news talk, okay?
But, Phil, no one's listening to your lousy show with your made-up voices and your silly little guests. And, ooh, today I'm going to talk to R.C. Collins. And
well, thank you for demeaning it. Look, I know that it's kind of weird, and I know...
The radio stations don't know how to promote it. The people don't know what it is that they're listening to. You're frightening people, Phil. What about this, Phil?
No, I won't do it.
No, really. What about being a classic rock jock, playing the songs that people want to hear instead of trying to be the star yourself?
The Allman Brothers and Ramblin' Man. And just ahead of that, we heard Pat Benatar with You're a Heartbreaker. And, of course, we started out with Grateful Dead and Touch of Grey. Phil Henry with you here on the Classic Rock Outlet for all of the Modesto Valley, 91.3. Say, listen, this weekend, don't miss Dave Matthews, who'll be at the amphitheater. If you want to win tickets to see Dave Matthews, I'll take the... How about if we take the 31st... No, let's take the 33rd... No, let's take the 35th. No, you know what I want to do? I want to take the 19th. Well, okay, let's take the 19th caller. The 19th caller wins tickets to see Dave Matthews this weekend at the amphitheater. And, of course, opening up for Dave Matthews will be Jethro Tull and the Young Dubliners. Now, give us a call right now on our hotline, and you'll be able to get those.
What about that, Phil?
I did that. I was a classic rock jock.
And you know something? That's the last time you did your big six figures as a disc jockey, wasn't it?
Well, I happen to be making more money now.
More money, but no one knows what you're talking about. He does these funny voices, and people call in and think they're real. Oh, my God, Phil, you'll never be able to explain that to anyone. Not even a brain surgeon like Howard Stern can get it. What makes you think this is going to be anything other, Phil, than some strange anomaly on the radio? What about being a local weatherman on television? Have you thought?
I don't. Oh, yeah. What you mean, like Garth Kemp?
Exactly like Garth Kemp. He left KLOS, and now he's doing a wonderful job there on ABC, doing the weather. Isn't that great? You could be glib, and you could be joyful. And you could...
Okay. Thanks a lot, Tony. Boy, I'll tell you something. If you guys were out in that rain today, you saw what I saw. The surf down at Santa Monica and Malibu is really threatening a lot of those houses, Jerry. And I just don't know if the people there are safe, so we're going to keep our fingers crossed. Okay, thanks a lot. All right, so let's take a look at our weather for yesterday so you can see this low-pressure trough coming in right here along the coast. And you're going to be seeing some low temperatures in the inland valleys. But along the coast, it seems to be warming up just a little bit as we see some of that marine layer coming in. Now, right here, see this little guy right here? Huh? See, that's what's called a low-pressure front. That's going to move and sweep. Sweep on down through the L.A. Basin, and tomorrow we should have a very beautiful day in store, absolutely, and I think it's just going to be really good for the old SC game and UCLA, okay? So that's it. Thank you so very deeply. Thanks a lot for paying attention to me, okay? Thanks. Thank you.
That's right, Phil. A TV weatherman. Phil, so many who have failed at radio become weathermen, and they're affable, and they're friendly. Plus, you get glib, and you can have fun, and you can do all of those wonderful things. But instead, you opted for the most difficult of all lives, trying to be an original in a sea of unoriginality. Don't you realize that original people are not admired, Phil? They're despised.
Don't say that. That's the one thing I fear.
It's true, Phil. Original people are not admired. They are despised. They are hated by all around them. Because they're the ones that remind everyone else of how just so matter-of-fact they are, Phil. People don't like you. They hate you. You remind them of how unoriginal they are. Better to blend in, Phil.
I won't do it. I'm just not going
to
do it.
Better to blend in, to blend in, to blend in, to blend in.
I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. I'm not going to blend in. I'm not going to blend in. I'm not going to blend in.
30 seconds, Phil.
Huh?
30 seconds.
To what?
We're starting the show in 30 seconds.
What
are you doing? Taking a nap?
No. I wasn't taking a nap. 30 seconds?
Yeah, taking 30 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
time now for Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report. And Margaret joins us now from the end of the campaign trail, winding down in, where are you, in Ohio, Margaret?
I am, Phil. Actually, I'm in a little city by the name of Akron, Ohio, and I know that you visited there a number of years ago. Senator Kerry is doing some last-minute campaigning here in what are called one of the swing states, as well as Wisconsin and Florida and Pennsylvania, very important states for the senator. And along the way, as I close out covering the senator's campaign, trying to be as objective as I can, I've got a theory, and I suppose some people might think it's one of those theories that's been proven, but I've really come across so many different people in this campaign, those some voting for Kerry, some who claim they're going to vote for Bush. I find that the average voter for Bush, or at least the average individual who claims he's going to vote for Bush, is not as intelligent as the average voter for Kerry, or the people who say they will.
Now, how do you determine that? I'm just interested. How is that determined?
It's really a sense that I have, Phil, and it's a sense that I've developed over many years as a reporter. You look at people and you size them up, and you find them to be not very bright in the case of the Bush voter, and just a little bit more intelligent and more savvy in the case of the Kerry voter. But
how do you know?
Well, again, Phil, after many years of reporting, you know. And
yeah, but you can't say that for sure. You can't say, well, this man is more into... Why? Because he's not as well-spoken?
It really doesn't have anything to do with how well they speak. It has more to do with the look in their eye, the way they stand. Yes, how they express themselves, not so much grammatically, but are they being clear? And I find them, for the most part, those people who said they're going to vote for Bush to be a little duller, a little less prone to an original turn of a phrase, a little less prone to originally present an idea.
And I suppose that would extend to me.
Well, no, not in your case. I think there are...
Because I was going to say, I don't think that I'm not a college-educated man, but I don't think that I am what one would call a stupid man.
You're not a stupid man, Phil. I think in the case of casting your vote for George Bush, I think it is an unintelligent decision.
Well, that remains to be seen, doesn't it?
Well, no, I really don't think it remains to be seen. I think it is an unintelligent decision. And
would you be willing to put your theory to a test? Because I could take phone calls from people.
Well, that's too easy. What I want to do is I want to come out to California in the last few days of the campaign and talk to Bush and Kerry voters out there and see how this theory holds up, and I think it will hold up.
No, but I'm saying to you, we could test your theory right now by taking phone calls from people who are either Bush or Kerry supporters, and you can size up the intelligence of that individual.
Like I said, that's way too easy, because you know that it's not fair to them.
And why isn't it fair to them? You mean the callers?
Yes.
Why isn't it fair to them?
Because I don't think that talk radio callers are going to be a fair representation for your side, for the Bush side. You're going to get some very uninformed people.
Well, what makes the Kerry people calling tonight so informed?
Because the individuals that support John Kerry, whether they are talk radio callers or just standing on a sidewalk, are...
Oh, I see. So Bush people are dumb no matter what, and Kerry people are smart no matter what.
Well, I didn't want to get in an argument about it, Phil.
No, it's not an argument. I was just wondering if you'd be willing to test your theory.
It's way too easy, Phil. I don't think it would be fair to you.
No, I absolutely would be happy to take calls from Kerry. I'll open my lines up right now. If you're a Kerry supporter or a Bush supporter, call up, and you will talk to these people, Margaret. And you're going to assess their intelligence.
I will assess their intelligence. I think you're going to be very disappointed.
That if I get a Bush caller, he's going to be an idiot, and if I get a...
I didn't say idiot, Phil.
Well, not as intelligent, and if I get a Kerry caller, they're going to be intelligent.
I think you're going to be disappointed, yes.
Well, and by the way, I'm looking at TV right now, and I'm looking at Josh Hartnett and Leonardo DiCaprio and some of these other brain surgeons who support Kerry. These guys are real brain surgeons, is that it?
I think that Leonardo DiCaprio is a very sensitive and very intuitive young man, yes. And
no, I said, is this guy intelligent?
I don't think you can be an actor with that kind of emotional range without some raw intelligence. And
oh, come on, being an actor without emotional range. I'm talking about a man's ability to grasp, assimilate, and logically piece together bits of information to find a truth, and not just an opinion, a truth. You think that that guy is a brain surgeon?
You're speaking of Leonardo DiCaprio?
Any of those people.
They are our celebrities, they are our actors, they are our Hollywood royalty. I think that they have a great deal to say, and I think that, I think you're getting into deep water when you talk about them, because they are very special people, and in their case, intelligence, I don't think, is as important so much as their ability to emotionally connect with their audience.
What you're basically saying is they're stupid.
No, I am not saying that.
Well, no, that's basically what you're saying. All right.
No, I am not saying that, Phil.
Well, you didn't come right out and say they're bright. You said that their emotional ability to communicate is more important. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. 1-800-449-8686. If you support John Kerry or if you support George Bush, call in. Margaret Gray is here to assess your intelligence.
Well, you're making it seem as if I'm some kind of an automatic IQ test. I'm not. I just have a great sense for these things. And I know that the people I'm going to talk to tonight that are Bush supporters, I know are not going to be as intelligent as Kerry supporters. It's just simply that. And I want to refer back to something you said. I think it's very unfair for you to say that I called Leonardo DiCaprio a moron. I did not say that. I said he's got a deep emotional ability to connect with his audience.
In other words, he's an idiot.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you're saying. I want you to come right out and say now, is Leonardo DiCaprio smart or is he a bozo?
You know, I really resent being...
No, see, you can't say. You don't want to call him an idiot. Is he an idiot or isn't he?
He is a very talented...
Okay, so in other words, he's an idiot.
Oh, Phil, I'm not going to allow you to do this.
Well, you know, if you can't come out and say that the guy's bright, then you can't come out and say that he's bright. All right, 1-800-449-8686.
How's the caller volume?
It's sporadic.
Just as I thought.
Why?
Because the Bush supporters don't want to call up and embarrass themselves.
You know something? Well, maybe you're right. I don't know. 1-800...
No, I know I'm right. They're not going to call up and be exposed... and I don't want to say blithering imbeciles, because but let's face it,
They're not what? They're not as smart as Leonardo DiCaprio.
Boy, that's really unfair.
No, that's what you want to say. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. If you're a Bush supporter, you're an idiot. If you're a Kerry supporter, you're smart. So says Margaret Gray, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined by Margaret Gray here, our Campaign 2004 report. Margaret, you don't feel as if you're being arrogant, talking about people who are not as bright who vote for George Bush and people who are really intelligent.
Let me give you this example. I have a great many friends who are expatriate living in Europe right now. All Americans. These are people that are... very continental in their tastes. They are well-traveled, well-read. They travel in circles in Europe, diplomats and the like. All of them are Kerry voters.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, being subjected to the propaganda over there. How does that make them intelligent?
Propaganda. I'm talking about people that are well-traveled, that are as comfortable in a casino with Prince Rainier as they are sitting in a pub in London. And I just think that the Kerry supporter is a more urbane, sophisticated, and intelligent voter.
All right. I've got some calls to take here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You're going to assess the intelligence of the people that call, if they're a Kerry supporter, if they're a Bush supporter.
You actually have people calling.
Yes, I do. Well, I got a lady hanging on the line right now.
That surprises me. It really does.
Why?
Because I would think that Bush supporters wouldn't want to embarrass themselves and humiliate themselves. But I will say this. That
they're not humiliating themselves. They're calling up and expressing their support. But
for me to call them out as not very bright, that shocks me, that they would let themselves in for that kind of abject humiliation. But people are different.
All right, let me go to a phone call here from Holly. Hello, Holly. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, ma'am.
You know, I guess I'm so shocked that somebody would really talk about somebody's intelligence and try to judge it on the phone based on who they're going to vote for. I have two sisters who are expatriates. One lives in Turkey, and she's lived there for 10 years.
Yeah.
Another sister is very highly involved in the... Her husband is very highly involved in the government in Abu Dhabi. They've lived abroad for 20 years,
well,
and both of them are voting for Bush.
Well,
so,
that's interesting. See, when you're an expat living in Asia Minor or the Middle East, I don't think it reflects as urbane a taste as one living in continental Europe. You see what I'm saying? In other words, if you live in Paris, you live in Monte Carlo, you live in Italy, you live in Germany, you are traveling in a more literate society than traveling in some Turkish bazaar somewhere, you know.
Well, the sister who lives in Abu Dhabi lived in Paris for 10 years.
Yes.
I mean, she's lived all over the world. She is fluent in many languages. And, again, I guess what I find is so sort of troubling about your attitude is that you're such a snob. I mean, you're saying,
not at all, of course,
these people are so much more interesting and urbane, and the average American voter is, of course, some hick carrying a gun John Deere hat in Iowa, and of course the Kerry voters
I think you're being very unfair.
I think you're being very unfair.
I'm simply saying that your sister moves from Paris to Turkey. It is understandable if she gets, and for want of a better term, if she gets a little dumber by moving there, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, wait a minute. She gets dumber, or she just isn't as cultured?
I don't know the difference, really. To me, culture is intelligence.
Well, you know, and that's the problem. Culture is not necessarily intelligence, and culture varies from
voting for, Holly? Who are you voting for?
You know, actually, I am a huge supporter of George Bush.
Right, and I could have guessed that.
Yeah, exactly.
And let me tell you why. I'll tell you why, though. You're a little quick to be emotional. You don't fall back on the intellectual argument as much as, for instance, I do. You're emotional.
You have not come up with an intellectual argument yet.
You haven't come up with an intellectual argument.
Excuse me, all you're doing is name-calling and telling people...
Oh, my God,
That they're stupid because they're going to vote for Bush.
No.
You have yet to come up with anything intellectual, I think that...
Did you not say that your sister moved from Paris to the Middle East and got stupider as a result?
Phil, where did you get this woman? What does this woman do for a living?
Excuse me, I'm a journalist, and you don't have to speak to me as if I'm not here. I'm saying, didn't you...
No, she didn't. She said her sister moved...
I didn't say that.
Well, it's my assessment. It's possible. I'm just asking you to open your mind that your sister went from being a Kerry supporter in Paris and got dumber the further...
She's never been a Kerry supporter.
She got dumber the further south she went.
No, I think you carry your intellect with you, and I think your intellect is a function of what your life experiences and what you read on a daily basis and what information you're willing to take in and who you talk to and what you do.
I want to say something, too. I'm not a professional, Margaret, and you're a journalist, but this lady, Holly, sounds to me like a well-spoken, intelligent woman. She's voting for Bush. How could you say she's not as intelligent, say, as a Kerry supporter?
Well, she has a little bit of that. I don't want to say she sounds, and I mean this as a compliment, Holly, you sound tough.
I am tough.
You sound a little masculine.
You know what?
And
I'm an investment.
That bespeaks a little bit of a redneck heritage.
You know what? I'm an investment banker. I have an MBA from Columbia University,
right.
And I've spent 20 years doing mergers and acquisitions. And I'm a professional. Yes,
well, can I ask you
tough.
This? How smart is it to go from riding in a beautiful Parisian cab or a beautiful Parisian taxi cab to riding a camel? How smart is that?
Well, you know they're not
Bingo.
Riding a camel.
Bingo.
They're not. No,
Bingo.
No, you're making assumptions,
no.
And this is where I
Come
think
on, that can't be very bright.
No, listen, Margaret, you're making assumptions, which I think are really, really scary, and this is why I really question, quite frankly, your intellect, because my sister did not go from riding in a Parisian capital to riding on a camel. They went, and they're very involved in the government. They fly all over the world. Her husband runs the aircraft industry.
Are they Islamic?
No, they're Americans.
No, but I mean, have they converted to Islam?
No, of course not.
Well,
of course not.
Well,
I mean, it's a high-profile, fascinating, interesting job that he runs. She's
right.
An artist. She paints. She sells her paintings all over the world. And,
yeah, but do they fly on their magic carpet? I'm just kidding about that. Look,
this is what's so interesting.
You said something that really tipped it. You said they went from riding on their Parisian camel. What does that mean?
She misspoke.
She meant cab.
Cab, taxi.
Well, you said camel.
Well, you know what? I was going towards the camel because I was so shocked that you would make the assumption that they went from a taxi in Paris to a camel in Abu Dhabi.
Well, how do you know that they're not doing that? I don't understand.
All right, look, Holly, thank you, Holly, for your call.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. Linda, go ahead. You're on with Margaret Gray on. We're taking calls, by the way, from people who are supporting Bush or Kerry. And Margaret's contention is Bush supporters are not as intelligent. And,
well, you got me into that problem, Phil.
No, you made that statement. Linda, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say that it's only a liberal that would make the comment that a person's value is dependent on their intelligence.
Well,
that's the only thing I wanted to say. A conservative would never do that. A conservative puts all the different characteristics of a person and bases their value on all of those things. Only a liberal would make that kind of a comment. And
well,
I think that's one of those
broad-brush arguments that conservatives make. But let's talk about you. I imagine you're a conservative supporting Bush. Correct?
Yes, I'll be supporting Bush.
All right. Where were you born?
Pardon me?
Where were you born? What city were you born in?
I was born in the Midwest. I was born in Minneapolis.
See, that tells me a lot.
Does it?
Yes. The Midwest.
Well, that's fine. It can tell you a lot of things.
Kind of a dumb area.
But you can't judge me only on my intelligence.
What do you mean kind of a dumb area? You know, Minneapolis is in the middle of Union Democratic. I mean, good God, there isn't a more Democratic state than Minnesota.
How do you know that, Phil?
Because I lived there for a year.
Well,
all I have to do is look at the statistics. And the statistics have said that, you know, Minnesota has always voted Democratic.
Always.
No matter
what.
Well, but she comes from an area that is dumb by just its origins. Now, I'm not saying you are.
She comes from an area that's dumb. And you also said that...
You know, she can laugh if she wants, but she hasn't made one intellectual argument.
Well, she said that conservatives...
I don't have to, because my value isn't dependent on my intelligence. But you think yours is.
Intelligence is what... At the end of the day, it's going to get us through so many difficult problems. By God,
well, I disagree on
you
that.
Know, if we have a rowboat full of rowers and no captain, God help us all, because
yeah,
we'll be eating each other.
For Bush.
Do you want to know why the Donner Party happened? Because there were nothing but Indians, and there were no Indian chiefs. They decided to eat each other. That's what's going to happen with George Bush in office.
Well, maybe you should go back to your history book one more time and look to find out a little bit more about the Donner Party.
Can I ask you
something?
Why do you come from a place where there are more tumbleweeds than McDonald's? That's got to be dumb.
Get out of here.
I said the further south she went, the closer to a camel. Now, that's dumb.
What a jackass. Margaret Gray with us on... Voting for George Bush or John Kerry, voting for Bush means you're kind of a dimwit, huh? Well, maybe you are. Maybe we're all dimwits. Or voting for Kerry means you're a brain surgeon. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up in our next hour, Bradley Military Academy Cadet R.C. Collins will join us and talk with us about something very interesting. If you don't vote... You are actually sending a message of profound disrespect to our fighting men and women, meaning they are putting their lives on the line for you, and you don't even involve yourself in the process. He's got some very choice words for you if you don't vote, coming up in our next hour. Also, autistic DJ Royce Wallace, and tomorrow, of course, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, roasting marshmallows on the everlasting bonfire. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
R.C. Collins coming up from Bradley Military Academy. We also have autistic DJ Royce Wallace. And what, bud?
Tell him about our beta week.
Yeah, you can go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, to look at Bud's Babe of the Week.
Yeah.
Let's see who it is this week. It's a banner here. Bud's Babe of the Week, huh?
Yeah.
Teresa Heintz?
Are you kidding me? She's hot. She's slamming.
Teresa Heintz is slamming, huh? Mandy, you need serious medical attention. Anyway, go take a look at her, Bud's Babe of the Week. Who's next week?
Rita Cosby from the Fox thing.
Rita Cosby? You mean that woman who has so much fat in her sinuses? She like,
and today we're going to be...
How dare you? She's beautiful.
Anyway, that's Bud's Babe of the Week. Go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Who's going to be week three?
Aphrodite Jones.
Aphrodite Jones, who used to be a guy.
You don't know that for sure. That's slanderous.
Anyway, let's take a look at Vernon Dozier from our show yesterday. Vernon, a high school teacher who doesn't see any reason for parents to be upset about the fact that he gave a female student extra credit for, well, she came in with her term paper and she was dressed a little, well, a little provocatively.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay, Rob's first. It's called respect.
Who said you're first?
I said that he's first.
Got it, big guy? Okay, it's
hey,
called respect.
Don't, hey, look,
it's called respect.
I'll take...
My daughter is a varsity softball player. Shut up, big guy.
Hey, you shut up. I'll come
okay.
on over there, man, and I'll teach you what a football cleat's for.
And I, look, you guys want to talk or don't you? You want to argue?
I do want to talk.
This guy's
my daughter was on
up.
A varsity softball team. The high school coaches. My son's on a varsity soccer team. Okay, sorry, you don't like soccer. Whatever. But,
what an idiot.
Respect. When you're talking about girls and the way they're dressed. My daughter is almost 21 years old. Been through the high school thing with girls in my house, the whole shot. I'll tell you what, you're disrespectful to the young lady.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you what,
how do I know? How do I know what you've been doing with all those girls in
your
house?
You might be a good football coach, Whippy.
Yeah.
You might not be a good football coach, Whippy. I don't care about that, but you're being disrespectful to the young lady.
I told
you're
her she looked
about
good.
The way she's dressed.
Okay, and she liked
else.
It. Now,
I'll tell you what.
If
that
you swing the other way, that's your
right.
problem, man. I'll tell
that
you something else.
Right.
With all them girls in your house.
Right, hold on for a minute.
Still talking.
Hold on for a minute, you guys.
I want to say one thing here.
No, wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
You guys are talking at the same time.
How do I know that guy wasn't, you know, touching those girls that were in his house?
What is that supposed
who?
To mean?
You. That's who?
Me?
Yeah, you said all kinds of teenage girls that were in your house, this and that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'll bet they were. Where else were they?
Okay, what are you accusing him
of? Good point. Where's your mind at, big guy?
You call me big guy one more time. I'm coming through the phone.
Well, all right, look it.
I'm going to come through the phone.
You don't know where I'm at, big guy.
You must be calling me big guy because you're a little guy.
This young lady.
Hey, you must be calling me big guy because you're a little guy. And you know what I mean by that, don't you?
All right, now come on, guys. Let's, just...
Whatever? Well, now, maybe you got one of them problems. Micro-size,
I guess it's worked twice. I got two kids, big guy.
Here I come again, little guy.
Whatever.
Why don't you keep the pet names for your boyfriend, Rob?
Okay.
My boyfriend?
See you later, gentlemen.
Wait, you're not going to hang up.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That was one of the more mature exchanges we've had with a guest on our show, Vernon Dozier, the high school, whatever the hell he is, high school football coach who gave extra credit to the girl because she wore a nice dress to class. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And we got coming up R.C. Collins from the Bradley Military Academy. It's kind of an interesting topic. He feels that military men and women who put their lives on the line for this country, who serve in uniform, are being disrespected by people who don't vote. Doesn't matter who you vote for, but if you don't vote, you're actually snubbing them. You're actually saying, sure, they're making a dangerous sacrifice, but I don't even care. And he has told me, or at least he's told Chris, he has a solution to that problem. You remember that plane that went down right after 9/11 in November of 2001 off of Queens, New York? And of course, we were still just traumatized from 9/11, and then a plane crashes in Queens on November 2001, and immediately everybody thought they did it again, they shot down another plane or something. And then they said there was something about the rudder on the plane. Maybe it was beaten up by some sort of draft from a jet that had taken off just ahead of them. They're now saying, according to an NTSB staff member, the co-pilot of the American Airlines flight caused the November 2001 crash. A co-pilot on a plane.
Investigator Robert Benson of the National Transportation Safety Board staff said the co-pilot's response to the turbulence just seconds after Airbus A300-600 plane took off from New York's JFK airport was unnecessary and aggressive. He said the rudder control system is sensitive at higher airspeeds, which is potentially hazardous. Now, on November the 12th, 2001, First Officer Sten Molin, the co-pilot, moved the plane's rudder back and forth after takeoff, trying to control the climbing aircraft, not realizing he was sealing the grim fate of those on board. Molin was at the controls when the plane hit turbulence almost immediately after taking off. "Hang on to it, hang on to it," Captain Edward States implored. "Let's go for power, please," Molin said. A second later, after a loud bang, which investigators believe was the tail breaking off. Then came the roaring of air rushing against the aircraft and alarms sounding in the cockpit. "What the hell are we into?" audible, Molin said. "We're stuck in it." State's last recorded words came 5 seconds later. "Get out of it. Get out of it." Both Airbus Industry, which manufactured the jetliner, and American Airlines, which trained Molin, agree that if he had taken his foot off the rudder pedal, the tail wouldn't have broken off, the plane wouldn't have plunged into a New York City neighborhood, and those people's lives would have been saved. So apparently he was trying to power the plane through this turbulence as opposed to just letting it kind of coexist with it until they got out of it. There you go, man. But at least one thing we know, what an Al-Qaeda. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
R.C. Collins is a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. And the cadets of Bradley, along with other cadets around the country, are urging people to get out and vote. Doesn't matter who you're voting for some very good reasons. And thank you for joining us, Cadet Collins.
My pleasure, sir.
Tell me about this election year and why you in the military academies across the country are urging people to get out and vote. Why this year than in other years, let's say?
Well, it's a very important year, and because we in the military, we see ourselves as not just in a military academy, but we're part of our armed forces. It's important, I think, for people to get out and vote because their vote will obviously determine the course of our country, and the course of our nation will be affected by who the president is, and that affects the future of our military.
Well, it does, and I'm not going to ask you your preference for president because I don't think that would be professional to me. You just want people to vote, right?
That is correct, yes, sir. By voting, I think you send a message to our military that you're involved in the process and you take our commitment seriously. At the same token, by not voting, by staying home, you're sending a message, whether you intend to or not, that you don't take the process seriously and that you have some disdain for your country.
Now, when you say you have disdain for the country, by extension, you see that as disdain for the military?
Yes, sir, very much so.
Tell me about that.
Because you're saying, basically, I'm not involved, so I don't care much about what happens to our military, and we take that as a hostile expression. Since our lives are on the line, it's important for those of us...
Now, you said a hostile expression.
Yes, sir.
So it's knowing what people know by not voting, they're hostile to the military?
I think so. I mean, since our lives are on the line, it's important for those of us in uniform to know that civilians are taking the political process seriously. We feel we have the right to expect that. And when people don't vote, I think they're showing an open hostility.
I'm not saying I disagree with you, especially when it comes to the men and women who are doing a job in Iraq and in Afghanistan.
Yes, and also that's why the combined student body of our military academy, we have decided to take the position that it is part of our mission to assert our desire in the electoral process, and that it's civilians whose lack of involvement in the political process by not voting, that by extension puts us at risk, that we have to make hard choices. And what we want to do is put those civilians on notice that if you do not vote, and I'm not saying that we would, but we would have the right, in my opinion, to exact some penalty.
You're talking about a penalty that the military could exact from people?
From the families of people who don't vote, yes, sir. I mean, we are trained for warfare, and you've got a student body of some 1,400 cadets ready to walk right into, you know, walk right into hell. I mean, you need to give them a mission, and our mission would be to expect the families of people who do not vote, who have young females, to allow us to fraternize with those females. I'm not saying we do that, but that's how seriously we take this.
But you are saying specifically, if a person doesn't vote in his family, you should be allowed to fraternize with the females.
I'm just saying that's how serious it is. It is so serious not voting that it would be morally okay for us to fraternize with their young females. Yes, sir.
All right. Are you talking about forcing yourself on these girls?
I'm not talking about forcing ourselves on anybody. I don't think that if you talk to the girls, you'd think, you know, that they, I don't think it would be their opinion that you had to be, you know, be forced.
All right. You realize that this could be read by some people, I mean, that you're being flippant and trivial.
No, sir, I'm not being trivial at all. I mean, we consider not voting to be a hostile expression toward the country and especially toward our military. And if you don't vote, then we would have, and I'm not saying we do it, we would have every moral right to take liberties with your females.
Does that include wives?
I mean, if the shoe fits, you know.
You recognize that when you say, and I'm trying to be delicate here, that when you say, hey, I can have my way with your wife.
By the same token, look what you're doing to provoke us. You're not voting, and therefore you're saying, yeah, we think the military is just stupid, and that's wrong, too.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, young man from Bradley Military Academy, voicing the opinion of the assembled cadets, and he says others in the, quote, military, that not voting sends a hostile message to the military that you're not involved in the political process, and therefore they would have every right to take the females. You know, it's very charged, if you don't mind me saying.
Yes, sir.
It's extremely emotionally charged to say, I'm going to take your women.
Oh, I recognize that, sir.
You know that is a very emotionally charged thing to say to a man.
I understand it, sir, but it's emotionally charged to say to me, I didn't vote. And so...
So you're trying to send the message that... See, this is what it is. To say to me, I didn't vote, is like me saying, I want to have sex with your daughter.
Yes, sir, but we take it a step further, sir. We say, if you don't vote, we would have the moral right to fraternize with your females for, you know, a 24 to 48-hour period. And
have sex with them?
I'm not saying have sex with them, just fraternize with them. You know, be with them, socialize with them, have drinks.
An underage female?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How old are you?
I'm 17, sir.
Do you drink alcohol?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Do you worry that the military academy, that you're giving a bad name to your military academy, saying that you, as a 17-year-old underage, drink?
Sir, I'm a military cadet, and someday I'm going to be commissioned in the U.S. Army, and I don't think it's fair to say to a soldier, hey, you know, you can't drink on account of we could be in harm's way. And if I'm going in harm's way for some civilian who doesn't even want to, you know, get up off his 300 pounds of donut oil rear end, you know, to go out and vote, then basically what he's saying is, okay, since I'm not voting and I'm showing you that I don't care about you, then why don't you come and have sex with my daughter? And that's all I'm saying.
Or his wife.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful.
That's what I'm saying. You're saying something very emotionally charged. I'm going to go have sex with your daughter or your wife because you guys are not voting.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Suppose a guy says to you, I didn't vote, now I dare you to come have sex with my wife and daughter.
Well, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want to push it if I were him. You know, we're 1,400 cadets trained for the military. We're ready to eat our own guts, so I wouldn't want to go there. But I just want to say that if you don't vote, then why shouldn't I be able to have sex with your daughter? Because that's about how much you care about me, then that's about what I care about you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Get a load of this kid from the Bradley Military Academy. He says he speaks for the fighting men and women of America when he says, if you don't vote, you're basically showing your disdain and your contempt for the military, and so therefore, they have every right to fraternize with your females for 48 hours. I said, does that include sex? He said, whatever. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know how many people listening to me right now don't vote or do vote. Is it a hostile expression, not only to your country, but also to the military, that they put themselves in harm's way for people that don't vote? And if you don't vote, does this kid have the right to demand sex with your daughter? 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you get a piece of fat and slide off?
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, back with Cadet R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy, who believes that people who do not vote show a contempt and disdain for their country and the country's military that should be penalized. And you think that morally you would have the right for 48 hours with the young females of that family?
That is correct, sir, yeah.
And you know how shocking a comment that is.
Well, I'm not here to shock anyone, sir. I'm here to make a point that if you're not going to vote, then you're basically telling me you hope I die in combat. And if you're telling me you hope I die in combat, then I say to you, you know, you better get your daughter ready, because I'm not dying for you on account of you didn't vote, and I don't get some of what you got at your house. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, all right. 1-800-449, because I think you have a problem communicating yourself, son, if you don't mind me saying.
Sir, if you don't mind, you have respect for me and not call me son. I'm a cadet, and on account of the stuff that I've done.
All right, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Janice, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, to start with, he's definitely not a man, because a man wouldn't think in those terms. He sounds like some little perverted child.
Well,
I wouldn't even want him representing my country, let alone anything else.
Do you vote, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
Well, then you have nothing to fear.
It doesn't matter. You don't. That doesn't give you the privilege that you can have sex with someone's child because you think you're such a hot cadet.
It's not about being hot. It's about basically taking a payment or a barter. The way I got it figured is, if you don't vote and you're telling me you hope I die, then you're bartering your daughter.
We're not hoping any of our kids die that go to the military. I have a son. I don't want him to die, but that doesn't give him the right to have sex with someone's child.
You vote, though. But I'm saying if some family doesn't vote,
then
they got to give it up. They got to give it up.
Your thought is sick. That is perverted.
How's that any more perverted than somebody not voting and saying, why don't you go to Iraq and have an Iraqi blow you up?
It was your choice to go in this cadet.
Yeah, I'm fighting for the country of America, and here comes Joe Citizen. Oh, well, I don't think I'll vote today because I want to go watch Joe Millionaire or something. And meanwhile, I'm going to get blowed up? No.
Oh, you're just on a pity trip or something.
No, I'm not. I'm simply saying you better make with some payment, and I think 48 hours fraternizing with your daughter is equal time.
You really believe that?
Yes, sir, I do.
If you were from where I was raised and come from, someone would take you out in the woods and just beat the crap out of you.
Ma'am, I doubt it very much. I'm a trained cadet. I doubt that.
Oh, that doesn't even affect me in any manner.
Well, I can tell you what, thank goodness you do vote, because if you didn't vote, you know, I'd have to, like, make a decision about whether I wanted to fraternize with you, and it probably would be...
Oh, I would love for you to fraternize with me.
No, thank you. No, thank you, ma'am.
Hey,
I'm ready to eat my own liver for my own country, okay? I'm ready to eat my own guts.
Because you don't even have the right to fraternize with nobody with your choice.
Well, you keep on voting, because that'll save me the job of having to fraternize with you.
You've got that right.
All right,
you need to fraternize with your mother.
Oh, my mama. You brought my mama into it?
Well, with
yeah,
I mean,
so you're bringing my mama into it.
Well, you brought everybody's daughter into it.
Only the ones what don't vote.
So what? It doesn't matter. A parent or a child is a parent or a child. So fraternize with your mother and your sister if you have animosity towards everything.
No, no, because I'm not into incest and carnal relations with my sister.
You're into something, but it ain't military.
You know what? Leave the military stuff to the military, and you go back to milking getting the bottles ready for the dairy.
You don't.
All right. Look, Janice, thank you. 1-800-449-8686.
See, Mr. Henry, that's what I'm talking about. She votes and she doesn't even understand what I'm saying.
Well, what you're saying is bizarre. And
yeah, but think about it. I'm going to go die for America, and some guy doesn't vote. This is our way of encouraging people to vote, and that's all we're trying to do. I don't want to have sex with some guy's 14-year-old daughter, and I don't think he wants me to have sex with his daughter. So why not go out and vote? And that'll avoid you from having your daughter have the sex with me.
1-800-449-8686. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hey, this guy's an idiot. I hate to tell you. Personally, he's a
cadet. What?
You're an idiot.
Hey, could you take your hand off the phone, Tom, or whatever's going on there? I can't hear you.
Yeah, so I'm on the cell phone in the middle of the
park. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so this guy's an idiot.
I'm an idiot?
Yeah, you are.
Why? Because I encourage people to vote?
No, because you represent yourself as a member of the military, and you're not. You're a member of a cadet, a private school. You know nothing about military whatsoever.
Well, do you?
Yes.
Well, how do you know?
Because I'm in the Air Force, I'm sorry to say. You don't know what you're talking about.
So you're in the Air Force. You're going to go die for some guy that doesn't vote?
I'll die for any American.
I say you go and take what's owed you.
Say what?
I say you go take what's owed you.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you come on over and join us then, huh?
Hey, man. You say the word. I'm there.
No, I doubt it. You don't represent anything of the military values whatsoever.
What are you? Are you like in a simulation air tunnel right now?
Actually, I'm on a cell phone out in the middle of a parking lot.
Don't the Air Force give you better phones?
No, this is my private one. I wouldn't be allowed to use a military phone to call into a radio station.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. You guys are going to be flying missions over Iraq for some guy that don't even go to the polls to vote. You ought to at least be able to fraternize with the females of the family.
No. You're wrong. You're talking about,
It's just something to think about.
You're talking about violation of civil law.
You should go back to the barracks. Talk to the other guys about it. See what they say.
Oh, well, come on. I've been in for 19 years. I think I know a little bit more about this than you do.
Tell the guys, hey, look, we all ought to start taking out.
Hey, when you grow up. When you grow up and you want to become an officer in the United States Army, like you said,
you go back to the barracks and tell the guys. You should tell the guys. I talked to this guy today on the radio, and he's got a pretty good idea. I say we go take it out. What? Court-martialed?
Sure.
I never get to Iraq.
All right.
Tell you what. You join the military. You represent the military like you're doing because you're giving the military a bad name.
All right, Tom. Thanks for your call. 1-800. That phone's killing me. Here is Tom, another Tom in Texas. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, how you doing, Phil?
Good.
Well, this guy is completely out of his mind. I don't understand how anybody
thank you very much for your comment.
No. Listen.
Moving on to another call now.
Listen to what the guy's going to say.
I'm active duty Marine Corps, and I am
God
an OIF
bless you.
Veteran.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, don't Semper Fi me. You're a cadet.
Semper Fi, do or die.
Look at kid, don't even insult the man, okay? Don't insult him.
I've heard you make reference to combat. I don't even know what you would even know about combat. You're 17 years old.
Are you in the military right now?
I'm in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
I'm active duty.
Why don't you go back to the barracks and tell everybody about the idea that I've got?
Your idea is asinine.
Why do you figure that? You guys go over to Iraq and you're going to get shot at, and there's Joe Citizen sitting there not even voting? And I'm ready
absolutely
to
absolutely right, and that is what we fight for everybody to have their own ideals.
Are you kidding me? That's
no,
like
I'm
you might as well
serious.
Be fighting for a communist or something like that.
Well, look at kid, are you saying like a guy that doesn't vote is like a communist?
What's the difference? A guy that doesn't vote is going to try to tear the country down. And I say a guy like this guy, Tom, go back to the barracks, just have a meeting with everybody.
Well, I don't think any other Marines believe in what you believe in, and I don't know what they teach you in that Army cadet school, but that's horrible.
Well, you should just sit down with everybody and say, look, here's an idea I heard on the radio tonight. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know,
no,
Mr.
No,
Henry,
I...
you're laughing at me. You should go back to
I don't think any of my Marines would even consider what you're saying. I don't even think that's right.
Why not? Give me one good reason.
How about it's against the law?
What is?
Fraternizing with an underage female?
I'm 17.
Well, this man's probably older than 18, and so another...
Well, he could go with the guy's wife.
Oh, what are you, some kind of an idiot or something? Good God, do it with the guy's wife.
Go ahead
wife.
And hit my wife up with that idea.
Hey, dude, I'm not going to...
be real thrilled.
Well, get out of here. You're a Marine. I ain't going to do it with you. I'm just saying, if a guy doesn't vote, he's saying, go ahead and die in Iraq in some unmarked grave where a bunch of towel heads are going to say some prayer over you and put a rock on your head.
You're nuts, man. You're flipped out.
You wouldn't even know anything about that, son.
Would you eat your own spleen for your country?
It doesn't matter what I would do.
All right.
You guys laughing at me kind of makes me angry.
Yeah, well, all right, man. Thanks a lot, Tom. 1-800.
Well, what are you, just blowing me off?
Yeah, a little bit, man. Good luck, though, convincing everybody. Hey, let me have sex with your daughter if you don't vote.
So you're blowing me off. Is that it?
I got to move on.
I'll remember this, Mr. Henry.
Good, you remember it.
I'll remember it.
Yeah, hey, do me a favor, will you, RC?
What?
Remember it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Got time for one more call. With me is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy, talking about how the sacrifice of American servicemen and women is so profound that anyone who does not vote is showing open hostility, not just to their country in general, but specifically to the military. You're a military cadet at Bradley Military Academy, and you feel that it would be morally within your right to take... as in sexually, the daughters of people like that.
Yes, sir, I do. And I can tell by the people calling in who do not understand this idea that it scares them a little bit. Scares them, the thought that not voting will lead, you know, will mean that they're putting their daughters, you know, that they all want to fraternize with their daughters for a weekend. And that means, doesn't mean anything bad. It just means hanging out with them, having... Yes, drinking whiskey and things like that.
All right, let me go to Brittany here. Brittany, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Brittany.
I just got to say, I think this guy is so full of crap. You know, for you to say something like that, I mean, my dad has been in the military since he was 17 also, and I know would never, in the Air Force, yes, and he would never, ever make a comment like that. That is, that, you know...
Well, that's pretty cool.
Bringing up this whole voting issue and stuff, voting has nothing to do with you, you know, being able to physically put your hands on some female. That has nothing to do with it. So I don't know what you're talking about.
So we're supposed to go over there like your dad goes over to Iraq, gets blown up in an airplane or something, and for what? For Joe Sixpack?
You know what? It's freedom of speech. I would be more than proud to go over for my country. I know more than any of my male friends would be more than proud to go over there. I've considered joining the Air Force as an officer, too. And I think you're just a wuss, and you can't suck it up.
A wuss? Are you kidding me? I'm willing to die for my country, but there's a trade-off in this world.
You seem that you complain a lot about it. Maybe you should just take it like a man and do your job and stop bringing all these other situations into it.
Well, what are you talking about?
That has nothing to do with the topic.
I'm willing to die for my country, but there is a little payment due from Joe Sixpack.
You know what? That's really sad if you think that's payment for what you do.
Well, don't
that
the guys...
That is really sad. That's really pathetic.
Well,
you must
what are you talking about?
Because that is...
Only the ones...
Crap.
What are you talking about? Only the ones that don't vote? May I ask you a question at this time?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you tell me about... I mean, I know your dad's in the military, so I'm not talking about you, but just for instance, what are your dimensions in terms of... You know how you're not hanky or anything, right?
That I'm not what?
What are you talking about, man?
I mean, are you hot or what?
Well, I like to consider myself so, but that's not the issue at all.
Okay, so what are you laughing about?
You're not going to chance in hell with me. I'm sorry.
What are you laughing about? I mean,
you're so full of crap.
I'm full of crap.
Ridiculous, like you. I can't believe you even represent our country.
I mean, this is a young woman, okay?
Mr. Henry, let me, because I'm, you know, I'm talking a little bit of...
You don't even sound manly enough to be in the military.
Well, excuse me, I'm so very deeply sorry, but some guys who have the highest, squeakiest voices are pretty more endowed. You know, you sound pretty hot, and you got a sexy name like Britney Spears and stuff, don't you?
You don't even need to go there.
And another thing? When I get out of the Bradley Military Academy, I'm going to be commissioned in the United States Army.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go over to Iraq. I'm ready to eat my guts for my country.
Mm-hmm.
But the trade-off is some citizen out there...
Well, then leave it as that. Leave it as that. You don't need to bring other females into this. You don't need to bring your sexual acts or, you know, whatever, because you've been stuck in training that you're so, you know, out there, you're just dying to say anything to get some. That's really sad.
Is that it, R.C.?
Oh, my God. So that's what you think it is. I just need some.
Yeah, dude. You're just saying any crap to try. It's pretty funny, Brittany.
Yeah, well, thanks.
You know something, Mr. Henry? You weren't even in the military, so what do you know about it?
Whatever, dude. I've lived more life than you freaking... I got out of bed in the morning, I lived more life than the... How old are you?
You got out of bed in the morning, I lived more life than... How old are you?
You know what? No. Let me tell you something.
You know, Mr. Henry, I'd be even willing to go to Iraq and, yes, have both of my you-know-whats blown off for my country. And she's laughing about that. She thinks that's funny. You know why?
Not at all. I think you're just way out of line.
I'm not out of line. I'm trying to fight for my country.
What? Listen to your voice all squeaking up, man. You can't even make me make anything.
Hey, maybe you should finish puberty before you enter the military, buddy.
Hey, when I get out of the military academy, you come look me up. I'll show you a good time.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hey, what's your email address? We can chat and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're sick.
You know, you think it's funny because you ain't got... You're a girl. You don't know what it's like to have you-know-whats.
Will you shut up?
I don't need them.
Will you shut up, man? All she's saying is...
You telling me to shut up?
Yes, I am.
Maybe you can take his advice.
That's a good fight. Hey, Brittany, you, me, a motorcycle down in Mexico? Word up.
Word up.
That's okay. I'll take my dad's Harley for a ride. I don't need any of your little crotch rocket crap.
So you think I ride a crotch rocket? You think I'm on a rice rocket, do you? Oh, my God. You think I'm... God, that hurts, man. You think I'm on a rice rocket? I'm going to get me a Harley Softail. My brother saw one for sale in the recycler. By the way, you want my email address? It's rccollins@philhenryshow.com. rccollins@philhenryshow.com.
Don't give her your email address. Brittany, thank you very much for your call.
No problem.
All right.
Semper Fi, do or die.
What a dip. rccollins@philhenryshow.com if you want to talk further to that little squirt. What's the cross between a squirrel and a squirt? A squirtle? What am I, nuts? I've been talking to this kid for too long. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you. Let me jump in your game.
All right, that was The Doors, and that's Hello, I Love You. And this is Royce Wallace, your autistic DJ. We heard The Doors with Hello, I Love You. And just ahead of that, we heard The Doors with L.A. Woman, Riders on the Storm from The Doors, and Touch Me from The Doors. And coming up, we're going to hear The Doors and the Alabama song. I'm Royce Wallace. I am autistic. All I know is Doors music. Let's take some calls for me right now. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, listen, Royce, I get it. You only know The Doors. Can you play some Ray Charles?
I can play some Ray Charles, sure.
No, I mean really play Ray Charles this time. Don't screw around. Really, can you really play Ray Charles?
Well, sir, that's kind of insulting. Of course I can.
Do you really swear to God? Do you swear to God? Do you believe in God?
Yes, I do.
Do you swear to God that you'll play Ray Charles?
I swear to God, sir, that I will play Ray Charles.
Right now?
Right now, sir.
Because all you play is Doors.
I understand that, sir, but I'm going to play Ray Charles right now.
And you swear to God?
I swear to God.
Honest.
stack of Bibles.
On a stack of Bibles.
In other words, you hope that God drives knitting needles into your eyes and blinds you for life if you don't play the Doors.
I hope God will drive knitting needles into my eyes, yes.
Okay, all right, okay, I'll accept that.
All right, sir. I thank you for calling.
Ray Charles.
Ray Charles.
Right now.
Right now.
You swear.
I swear. I swear. All right. Ooh, what's that guy from? This is Royce Wallace, and welcome to the Autistic DJ Show. And here is The Doors. Love Me Two Times, Baby. This is from their Best Of album. The Doors started in Los Angeles, California in 1965. Ray Manzarek and the group were... Well, Ray Manzarek and the group were trying out...
Love me twice today. Love me two times, girl.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now, Johnny Rotten's I Hate Everything Show.
Everything's so boring, you know. Everything is so boring. So rude. Everything. It's American political race. It's like voting for a president of the United States. No one cares. It's like, well, who cares? It's like, why would I care about who the American president is? Why would I care? It's not a fit my bloody life, is it? No, it's not you. And you and all the people in Britain trying to get worried about American politics, it's not going to fit or change my life at all, no matter who the president is. I say we've got to get rid of the Queen, or get rid of Blair, or get rid of people like that. But the American politics, who gives a bloody rip? I'm trying to tell that to my friends. It's all communism, yeah, it's all fascism anyway. It's all fascism and communism. And it's all wrong. It's all just bloody wrong. And that's why I've decided that I'm not ever going to go back to America. As long as I live, I'm never going to go back to that bloody ridiculous place where all the people, all they ever think about is me, 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 I. It's bloody boring. That's what I think. I'm going to take a phone call now. Hi, I'm with Johnny Rotten. Hello.
Hey, Johnny, how you been?
I'm all right.
Hey, what are you saying? This is 1978, you're going on it.
What you talking about, 1978?
Well, you're talking like it's 1978. Everything's boring, fascism, communism. This is not the late 70s anymore.
I didn't say that it was, you pranny, you stupid twit. I didn't...
Yes, you did. You're talking all about how... Going on about everything burning. Fascism, communism. If you don't like bloody America, then don't go to bloody America.
Listen, you stupid pran. I didn't say I was going to go back to America. I'm talking about how everything in America is affecting everyone around the world, you dumb T-word. My God,
I'm the T-word you're talking about. All I hear you do every day on your bloody stupid boring show is talk about how boring everything is. Why don't you go out and make a hit record for a change? You're so bloody irrelevant and... Oh,
here we go. Yeah, now it's going to start knocking my career. You wish you had my career.
Wish you had... Right, I want to go and throw up an airport. You're such a bloody pran yourself.
I'm a bloody pran. Listen to you talking. I'm saying that everything... Get out of here. I'm not going to talk to you no more. Stupid bastard. It's like all these people... George Bush warmongering
and he's going over to Iraq, you know, and he's going to try and kill every bloody hell. Probably come to Britain and try to kill all the Brits, too. Hi, you're on with Johnny Rotten.
Hello, Johnny. I must say I enjoy immeasurably your program. And
sound like a bloody poofter.
I'm sorry?
I said you sound like a bloody poofter. You sound like a fag.
I can tell you that I'm not any such thing, dear boy. No, I'm a record producer. I'm certainly,
Rose, did I throw up on you at a party, dear?
No, you wicked boy. No, I was simply enjoying your broadcast.
I probably puked all over you at a party, didn't I, you pawncy pran? Didn't I?
No! Oh, Johnny, no, I was just enjoying your program very much. I'm actually having coffee with Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues. And
Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues? Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues? Like I'd be seen in a scene. You talk about a homosexual. That man is a homo. He tried to fondle me at Abbey Road Studios. Did you know that?
No, he didn't, dear boy.
Yes, he did. Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues tried to fondle me at Abbey Road Studios, tried to put his hand down my pants. Now, that's the truth, you queer.
Oh, dear boy.
I don't want to take no more calls because everyone's boring tonight, you know? It's like I'd rather go to the pub right now. I don't want to talk to no one anymore. It's just stupid. I hate it all. Ruddy bastard. Stupid sod off.
This has been the Johnny Rotten Show. Isn't he cute? I was just calling in. I'm his producer. He had no calls, so I thought I'd call. I find him fascinating. He's wonderful. I find him at once almost primitive, and yet there is an intellectual...
Oh, shut the hell up, you pran, and take me down to the pub for a drink.
Hey, look at this. There is if you go to Clear Politics, realclearpolitics.com, they've got all of the national polls averaged out here. And, gee, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I thought for sure Kerry was going to kick ass. He may still kick ass, but in every single poll, with the exception of the ABC Washington Post poll, Bush leads 2-3, 3%, 6%, 5%. LA Times has it in a tie. Bush up 2% in the Newsweek poll. Then there's something called TIP, 5%. Lead. CNN USA Today, 6% lead. LA Times, 1%. Newsweek, 1%. This is head-to-head, and then in a three-way. Oh, I see what it is. In a three-way, Bush has the biggest lead he's got is a 6% lead in the something called the TIP poll. Wait a minute. That's right. And then in a head-to-head, Bush has a 6% lead in the CNN USA Today Gallup. You go down here to George W. Bush job approval ratings are actually up across the board. How is that possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. They just had a good jobs report in some of the key swing states. That's number one. And maybe the American people are finally getting educated on economics and what really powers an economy. It isn't words and it isn't promises. And it certainly isn't promises, the likes of which are some of the most incredibly stated things that any normal human being... I mean, you'd have to go to the Planet of the Apes, man, with Charlton Heston to hear a similar program put forward and think the guy was serious, man. This cat's saying... Like, I had this email exchange with my brother-in-law. Okay, let me see. He's going to put more cops in the street, expand the military. He's going to improve health care. He's not going to raise taxes, and he's going to shrink the deficit. And he's going to do all of this. And what? It's impossible, man. You got to do one or the other, man. You got to either raise taxes, or you're going to shrink the debt, or you're going to expand the deficit. You can't do both. Like, so maybe the American people ain't as dumb as I thought they were. Here's one here. John Kerry, George Bush favorability ratings. Bush is up. Generic congressional. It's very interesting, but we'll wait and see what happens. You get into that polling booth, you get all by yourself in that booth, and you get out your poll. I mean, you get into that booth, and you start... I didn't mean to make a big joke, bud. What a jackass. But you get into the booth and you start looking at the world in the privacy of your own booth. And suddenly you start changing your mind about things. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Tomorrow night we'll have Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.